Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me the victory beneath the cleansing blood. Let's sing it now. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me there. Aren't you glad He did? Will He plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood? Give me a verse of it.
Heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning,
oh, yes, we did,
of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won.
Let's sing about it, church. Oh, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me. Oh, aren't you glad there's victory? Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give Him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege it is once again to come into the house of the Lord to worship Him in spirit and in truth. How many of you enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Wasn't the word of the Lord outstanding? Oh, how God is so blessing us. And all I can say, as I say so often, just I'm glad you come back to camp meeting this weekend. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a nice warm smile. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord on Saturday night. Good to see all of you. God bless you. Play a little bit more of that, brothers, if you will. Play it, buddy. Bless you, my brother. God bless you, sir. Chaker, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of our prayer request. Jamie Page wants us to remember their grandmother in prayer, recovering from breaking her back. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that need tonight. Just commit that unto the Lord. I want to continue to pray for Brother Pinky Phillips. Still having bleeding problems, so let's pray that the Lord would touch our brother. Also, Brother Jerry Phillips is sick, unable to be in the service tonight, so we want to
Remember that prayer request tonight? Sister Jan Hall is in the hospital with breathing complications, so we want to remember her tonight. I want to pray for Brother Jackie Benton, very much pain in his back and hip. Also, Sister Wilma is still sick, so we want to pray for the Bentons tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of them. Brother Samuel says he just wants to thank Brother John Linichek for finding his keys, accidentally tossed him up on the roof of the church, and so they was found, and he's glad, so praise the Lord for that. Sister Jan Winters says, I am home from the hospital. I feel so much better since the heart doctors altered my heart medication dosages. I appreciate you all and your prayers. So we certainly long for the time when Sister Jan can be back in the house of the Lord and sing for us again. I really appreciate that, sister. Here's a prayer request, an unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. Just let me read this note to you. We'd like to thank everyone who participated in the blood drive and for those who wanted to give but could not for various reasons. It was very successful, and a total of 55 units were given by the church. The director of the Red Cross wanted the church to know how grateful they were and that our church gives more than any other church in the area. Thanks for all the help by volunteers who helped with the blood drive. So pat yourself on the back a little bit. You deserve credit tonight if you was able to participate in that. Thank you, and God bless you. Aren't you glad you're a Christian tonight? Aren't you glad you've been washed by the blood? You give your blood, but aren't you glad there's a greater blood than your blood that washed away all of our sins? Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. You may have walked in here discouraged as all get out tonight, but I don't want you to let nobody know about it. And most of all, I don't want you to let the devil know about it. We're going to have some church here tonight. We come to have some service here tonight. If you're discouraged and you're down and out and you're feeling the wowsy, wowsy woos, as our brother says, you just begin to praise, and I promise you, you're going to feel a whole lot better. You can praise your blues away. I believe that tonight. I believe that with all of my heart, that God wants to give you a great blessing in this service tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand as Brother Wes comes tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen, Brother Wes. God bless you, buddy. We love you, man.
Let's bow our heads. Father, that song, Victory in Jesus, it energizes us. We just love songs like that that help us to remember just that the victory's already sealed. It's already done. For the true believer, we've already won. It's already over. Our healing is already done. We bring these petitions to you, these prayer requests, Lord. Some of these are dire needs. Some people are very sick and very much pain, Lord. We know that we can trust you when we lay them at your feet, Lord. We know that we don't have to look at them again. We can just lay them there, and you're going to do something because we've asked you to. Your body, your bride on the earth today has asked you, and that's all we need to do. Lord, there's many different kinds of afflictions here. We've got people that are going in for surgery, Lord, and we know that we can trust you not only with their healing, but we can trust you to guide the surgeon's hand, Lord. We can trust you to make sure that he gets a good night's sleep the night before, and that he's ready for his job in the morning, and that you can guide his hand and make everything go just fine. You can help us to recover, not only just normal healing, Lord, but you can show your grace and your mercy, Lord, and your greatness, and so that there'll be testimonies through remarkable healing, Lord. We can trust you with all these things. We've seen it over and over and over again, Lord. You've drawn us out, and you've made us separate. Every day, it just is more clear the contrast between your bride and the world, Lord. It's becoming more and more clear. Your word is becoming more and more clear. You're drawing us closer and closer and closer. We know that the time is at hand. And Lord, we just thank you for making us ready. We thank you for bringing us the truth. We thank you for giving us a place where the truth is preached, Lord, with freedom and just total abandon, Lord. We love it. Lord, we just thank you for everything. We ask you to bless this service tonight, bless the musicians, and Lord, most of all, we ask you to bless the speaker as he comes out tonight. Lord, give our dear brother the words of life that'll draw us closer to you so that we'll leave better than we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Wes. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Let's sing that little old song, Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. I believe he's going to hold our hand all the way through. Do you believe that tonight? If you're holding on to somebody else's hand besides his, perhaps they're going to let you down. But if you'll hold his hand, you'll never be disappointed. Somebody say, I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. When the winds of this world are blowing strong, well, I know Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble. When the winds of this world are blowing strong. One more time. Oh, Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. See, Jesus is the fence all around his children. His grace is sufficient to stand the storms of life. And his word is a promise that we can lean on when the winds of this world are blowing strong. I know my Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side.
Roaming to and fro, he's seeking whom he may devour.
Oh, I like this.
But he that is within is so much greater.
Yes, he is.
When we rebuke him, we make him out alive.
Well, I know my Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong, Jesus is with me. The storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, winds of this world blowing strong. Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Sing it. Yes, he's with me.
He's with me.
Jesus is with me.
He is with me.
Oh, I know he's with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Oh, Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me. Oh, Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Satan, I want you to know something. Jesus is with us tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Jesus is with me.
Oh, I know Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world blow strong.
When the wind winds of this world growing strong, Jesus.
Oh, he's with us, church. Somebody say, Jesus is with me. Hallelujah. You believe me with all your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. You know, that's not just whitewash. Whitewash can be washed away. But that's genuine enamel paint. Jesus is with us. Do you believe that with all your heart? Look at somebody and tell them this. Jesus is with you. In your darkest trial, Jesus is with you. When you're the sickest you've ever been, Jesus is with you. When you're bankrupt, Jesus is with you. When you feel like He's left you, He's still with you. When you feel like you're walking by yourself, it's Him carrying you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give me one more hand clap of praise. Sing that second verse for me one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You see, Satan is roaming to and fro throughout the land.
Yes,
he's seeking whom he may devour. But he that is within us is
that?
So much greater than he
Hallelujah.
Is. When we rebuke him and make Satan out a liar.
Oh, I know my Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, the winds of this world are blowing strong. I know my Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather,
when I hear thunder,
oh, sing it.
He holds my hand.
Well, when I begin to tremble,
when the winds of this world are blowing strong.
Oh, I want you to sing it one more time. Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world blow strong. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. Praise the Lord forevermore. Aren't you glad you're believing a message? It stood the test of time. This cross that we follow. This blood that we follow. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It stood the test of time. And you know what? You may look around and you see yourself and you say, I'm the awfulest mess that's ever been. But I'm going to tell you something. You are living proof that Calvary was a success. That He did not die in vain. He did not die in vain. Look where you were. Look what you're doing. Look where you're at tonight. Look what the Lord's done for you. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Oh, I know Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, He's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, He holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world is blowing strong, you see now Jesus is a fence all around His children. His grace is sufficient to stand the storms of life. And His word is a promise that we can lean on when the winds of this world blow it strong.
Jesus is with me when the storm clouds get.
Oh, hallelujah.
He's
I want you to worship tonight, church.
The thunder roll.
Oh, He's worthy.
He holds my hand.
Yes, when I begin to tremble.
When the winds of this world.
Oh, hallelujah. Say it, Brother Harry.
Oh, Jesus is with me.
Yes, when the storm clouds gather, He's standing by my side.
When I hear the thunder roll,
He holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world is blowing strong. Sing me that second verse.
Satan is roaming to and fro throughout the land.
Well, he's seeking
whom he may devour. But he that is within us,
hallelujah,
is so much greater than
yes,
he
sir.
Is. Rebuke him and prove he is alive.
Oh, I know my Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world blow strong,
when the winds of this world are blowing strong,
oh yes, sir,
Jesus,
yes he is,
he yes, is he with is. Me,
yes he is, yes he is. Oh, give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated now. You're just singing so good, I don't know what to do with you. Praise the Lord. I want to say something tonight about somebody on this platform that, Brother, I don't guess you mind me saying what I'm fixing to say. But come Monday, and many of you probably know this, Brother Larry's going to be facing open heart surgery. Come Monday. And I've heard many people have told me personally how much they appreciate Brother Larry when he come in here and play before the service, the beautiful music that he plays. All you singers that depend on him to play for you, I know you appreciate him. Now, we're not saying bye to him. He's just going to be on the shelf for a few days. But Brother Larry, I want you to know this. This assembly appreciates Larry Elliott. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that cost you $20, but it's worth every penny of it. Oh, we love each other. We love these guys on this platform. I'm going to tell you what they have been talked about and said about them. And this is just, I say this humbly. And I say, I know they would accept this very humbly. The best platform that they've ever heard, music-wise. People have said that about this platform. And I totally agree with them. I do. I totally agree with them. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We appreciate you. We're just giving out roses tonight. Why, you can smell them. They smell a lot better when you've got a nose to smell with, don't they? Somebody say praise the Lord. I just love God's people, don't you? Tell you what, if you've got a problem loving God's people, you need another little bit of the Holy Ghost in your life. And the thing about it is, I don't care what your name is, if you're in the body of Christ, you're important to God. And you're important to each other. Don't care what your name is. God bless you. I don't know what got me off on that, but Larry, it's your fault. I appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Sister Gerald, if you got a song, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us. The band, I believe, is going to help her tonight. Let's just sing a little chorus as she gets ready to sing for us tonight. Let's sing that little chorus together. It's Jesus that I really want to see. If you come to see anything outside of Jesus and any of us, you're going to be disappointed. But if you can look, I think you'll see Jesus in these people tonight. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. See, I want you to sing it one more time. Will now. everybody's hand tonight as they get ready to sing.
Home is where the heart is. I've often heard it told. But if I didn't have the Lord to live each day with me, there's not a place in this old world that would feel like home to me. A cabin on a mountainside would be just fine.
Service, anxious to hear what our pastor has for us tonight. I appreciate our pastor, don't you? I certainly do. Brother Harris, sing us the chorus tonight.
What you're singing.
humbly
you came
to the earth you created.
For
love's sake,
he became
poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Oh, you're all together loved.
Yes, you are.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen, that's right.
That's one of the galleries we'd like to look at this weekend, if the Lord will help us.
Amen.
The gallery of worship.
Glory.
Maybe tomorrow. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. Are you happy to be in the house of God?
Yes, sir.
How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. I'll tell you one thing. That ought to so move our hearts. Prince's daughter.
Yes.
O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat, set about with lilies. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon, by the gate of Bath-Rabim. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. The hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. Without revelation and understanding, these are very nice, pleasant, unbelievable words. Very nice, very pleasant, but unbelievable. I'm talking about you as an individual. For you to be able to believe, the Lord Jesus feels this way about you. But with revelation, you can embrace it and say, that's me he's talking about. Amen. Don't you appreciate his grace helping us to see such things? Amen. I got text just a few moments ago from Brother Tim. Said Sister Karen's doing better every day, improving. Said the Spirit of the Lord came in a room just a few minutes ago and just really administered to her. And he said she's really, her spirits is really running high. And we're so grateful for that. You know, a sister, the Lord's just been with her and helped her. This week, one of her daughters was standing and her peripheral vision, like from both sides of her eyes, had been gone, looking left. And her daughter was standing and she said, I see you. And she waved her hand and said, you're waving your hand. And then she looked and said, I see myself in the mirror. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope the Lord will help us to see ourselves in the mirror tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. I'm wanting to have him, would like to be remembered in prayer before the Lord tonight as we go. Also, Carol's sister, Sharon, had to put her in the emergency room again today. This is the fifth time this week. So I'd like for you to remember her as well. Heavenly Father, we want to enter into your courts with praise and thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, I know that so much of the time that we spend with you in prayer, it's asking you for things. It's because we live in such a needy world. Our bodies are plagued with humanity and these tabernacles of humiliation that we live in constantly need help and assistance. But Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you don't bore or get tired with hearing our needs. But you told us to ask much that we might receive much. We want to thank you, Lord, for the progress of Sister Karen. We just believe in you, Lord, for a total and complete restoration of our sister. And we know that you're a God of restoration and a God of miracles. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands of your children in this building that were uplifted, that had needs. No doubt people out streaming did exactly the same thing. You know what all those needs were. Lord, we're just asking that you'd be mindful. Father, as we pray tonight, Lord, we want to be mindful of Sharon as she's back in the ER there in Kentucky tonight, Lord, the fifth time this week. She's really, really been sick and so many things going on. But Lord, we know that you are our healer. You suffered stripes so that we could be healed. And it's a work that's already done. It just needs our body to catch up with the revelation that we have in our hearts. Pray that you'd be mindful of her tonight. Lord, as we approach your word, we are so needy. We need you so much that you would help us, Father. We don't want this Song of Solomon to pass before us and it be really nice words and said in such a nice way. But Father, we want it to be so real to us after hearing it that our lives will never, ever be the same again. Only you can make it that way. Lord, I'm not gifted enough as a preacher to be able to make the word live. No preacher is. No matter how many of them think they might be. No preacher is gifted enough to make the word of God live. Only you can do that, Jesus. Help us tonight, I pray, Father. For it's in the name of the word himself that we ask it. The Lord Jesus. Amen. And the saints said.
Amen.
Let me hear you say it again. And the saints said. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on the King in the galleries. I would like to give you some account of this King. Depending on what kind of King that we would relate to, I think would give more value to the story. If it was an ordinary man that had said this, if it was a man who was worth little, a man who had not very much value, a man that said that he was held in the galleries of his wife, his queen, his beloved, and that man was not one of great worth or great importance, then people would hear or read his words and say, so what? I mean, he's a nobody. Basically amounts to nothing. Who even knows him? Who knows his name? Knows his pedigree? Knows where he came from? But that's not the story in what we just read. So I'd like to give you a little bit of an account of the King who this is set about. Now, I realize that I could start tonight and do a series on this King and speak about him plumb up to the end of the millennium, which will be over 1,000 years, and never touch the tenths, a hundredth of who he is and how great he is. So a preacher has quite a position and quite a thing to do, quite a task, to speak about one who is so great that neither time nor eternity can dare touch his person. That no words in all the known languages of the world, if all of the great fine words and adjectives and nouns and pronouns were all put together to try to write about him how great he was, of all the languages in the world, it would not do him justice that would be due to his great name. If all the great profound speakers, all the poets, all the artists, all of those who have great ability to write and say great words, great orators, great men that have lived down through time, if all of them could be hoarded together and they would be given an hour apiece or a day or a month, and for them to stand and speak of the greatness of the character, the power, and the humility of this King, it could in no wise touch him. Then how could I, a poor, feeble mortal, which is not a poet, which is not an orator, which is not a great speaker, which is not one known for his ability to speak great profound words. How could I accept the challenge to try for a few moments to describe to you the greatness of this King? How could I arise to the occasion? Or how could you arise to the occasion? Within myself, I would be overwhelmed to do so. I would feel inadequate to accept the charge. But with the gift of God in my life, anointed by the Holy Ghost, I will presume to accept this challenge for a few moments to describe to you this King. Now, this King, before he became God, was known as the Eternal, who dwelt alone. For there was no time, there was no angels, there was no molecules, there were no atoms, there wasn't anything but himself. But he desired to become more and express himself. And the only way he could do it was through the act of condescension, which is something that most unregenerate mortals cannot understand. They don't understand greatness through condescension. To them, greatness is expressed by stepping on other people and ridiculing other people to make yourself great. That is not greatness in the eyes of God. So this King that was eternal, we cannot relate to eternity, of course, because we are creatures of time which has been touched by a sliver of eternity which has birthed our souls and give birth to the attribute of God within us. But we are still limited by our ability to comprehend what all went on before there was time. So I will pick up from where he was in time. I'll not go back to when he made Adam. I'll not go back to when Seth was walking on the earth. But I will come to the great patriarch of my father of the faithful. His name was Abram. I will begin with him because I see with him a parallel that is reflected to where we are today. That there was an order that was foreshadowed by the appearing of this great King, which I see paralleled in the Song of Solomon, also in the book of John, also in Psalm 45, and also in the day that we are living now. And myself, being ignorant, unlearned, not a very smart man, but I've learned if I can find a pattern and a way that God reveals himself, and that is truly an unfailing nature or attribute of God, then that can be found over and over and over again. It is his scriptural continuity, or it is his author of the way the word runs in continuity. They tell me that people who study handwriting, that they have the ability to study your handwriting or mine over and over again. And even though we would try to trick them, if we knew someone was watching our handwriting, that they still can look beyond what we try to deceive them by. And it's in our subconscious, the way we do our T, the way we flip our R's, or whatever we do, that subconsciously, the subconscious will override the first conscious part, and a person who studies it can still pick up traits in your handwriting and identify you, even though you knowingly are trying to hide that. So myself, that's what I see inside this Bible here, that it is one divine author. And that's why that I identify myself, this message, as being the same author who wrote this. Because I see the T's crossed and the I's dotted and the R's rolled around exactly the same way he did it through Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah, Haggai, Malachi, and so on and so on. You understand what I'm saying? It is the same author by the same divine inspiration conveying the same story. Now, let me, if God will help me to be able to convey it a little bit, may he be able to magnify and exemplify himself through the perception
personification of words that are put together by the frailty of a human being, divinely anointed and inspired by God. And may you be divinely anointed and inspired by God as well, to be able to lift up beyond the realm of mortality and be able to see yourself in heavenly places in the gallery of the great King. Now, if God would help us to be able to look into this, types and shadows, there are many, 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 of course, in the Old Testament, and the shadow become reality in the New, but there it was still hidden, even though partially revealed, a divine element remained, though the mystery part was made clear. So in the form of Melchizedek, we'd like to look at the appearance of this great king. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return. Now this is the king of Sodom going out to meet Abram. From the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Now this is after Abram, by the power of God, has been able to overcome the kings which have captured Lot and the people of Sodom. Abram comes and he returns the people and the possessions to the king. So the king of Sodom, as it was their custom, came out now to meet Abram because of what he had done. Now that no doubt was a great thing in the eyes of the Sodomites. Didn't mean so much to Abram since he was not a resident nor a believer in the ways of Sodom. Now that's verse 17. But I want you to notice verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. So verse 17, the king of Sodom comes out to meet Abram. But in verse 18, Melchizedek, the king of Salem. Now where was Salem exactly? Where was Salem? Now, I'm just asking you a question. I realize many of you may not know, but I'm going to give you the answer. Where was Salem? Now, we know that this king was the king of Sodom. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Now, at this time, Jerusalem, or Jerusalem in the Hebrew, was called Salem. But yet Melchizedek was identified as the king of Salem, and Salem was now a Gentile city. So here is Melchizedek, the king of Salem, but yet if you go over here and find it on the map and ask the current existing king, a Gentile king, which was king of Salem, he would have told you he was the king of Salem, but not according to the way God looked at it. You see, when you were lost and out there in the devil's world, and the devil would have claimed you as being the king of your life, but that's not the way God looked at it. He might have claimed you and said you was his, but God was looking at you as he was the future brainship or the kingship of Salem, and he said, I am the king of Salem. God could, by predestination and foreknowledge, look at every predestinated seed and say, I am your king. You didn't even want God to be your king. You just didn't realize it yet, but you would. Now notice, so Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now notice what he is. So he is a king of Salem, and he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of El Elyon, the Most High God. So here we have this being called Melchizedek that is now reflecting himself in two offices which was forbidden in the Old Testament. To be a king and a priest was absolutely, in the law of God, forbidden by David, forbidden by Asa, forbidden by Solomon, or any of the rest of the kings, unless it was after a different order. Now, David was not after the order of Melchizedek, neither was Solomon, but after the order of Melchizedek, you have the ability to be king and priest at the same time. As a matter of fact, you can be King God, King Jesus, and King Theophany. You can be body, soul, and spirit under the order of Melchizedek. Now notice, we want to get a glimpse now of who this king is that is held captive in the galleries of his bride, or in the tresses or the curls of the galleries by which he beholds such divine deity and beauty that he becomes rendered almost powerless. Then who is this great king? Now notice what he does. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, which was Abram. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God." Now I want you to notice the continuity between verse 18 and verse 19. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, and Abram also was blessed of the Most High God. So there is a family tie in between Melchizedek and Abram. The Bible does not say that Abram was of the king of Sodom. It does not say Melchizedek was the priest of Sodom. But Melchizedek was of the Most High, and Abram was blessed of the Most High. Now notice the continuity then, that Melchizedek is blessing one of his own kind. Now he could not do this to the king of Sodom, because the king of Sodom was not of his kind or of his nature. You see, in order to receive the priestly blessing of Melchizedek, you must be of El Elyon. You must be the Lord God, or the God of hosts, and the word host is Tersaba, which is the mighty army. Whenever the Lord God created the heavens and the earth and all the host of them, these are the generations of the heavens, which means one succeeded out of another, the generations of the heavens, and this is the host of the heavens. He was the king of hosts. Do you understand? Before you was ever a mortal on this earth, your identity was written in the stars as the seed of Abraham. So your identity comes from the stars to the dust, from the dust back to the emerging of the stars and the dust together in the last days, eternal life in a human body. Oh, glory. And he blessed him. Now notice the office of a priest. Now, before it was ever written in the book of Numbers, when God said that the priest would put his name upon the people and say, "May the Lord bless you, may the Lord make his face to shine upon you," Melchizedek acts out this divine order and he blesses Abram. Look what the blessing was. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God." Don't let this stumble you, but as a priest, after the order of Melchizedek, I bless you tonight in the name of the Almighty God. And I say unto you, may you be blessed of the Almighty. May the Almighty bless your revelation. May he bless your body and heal you. May I say, oh, Brother Donnie, you're making a bold statement. I am. But I am also after the order of Melchizedek, which is what? The power of an endless life. It is not after the Levitical priesthood or the Aaronic priesthood, which had an end, but the order of Melchizedek never stops. It did not stop in Genesis 14. Neither did it stop with the Lord Jesus, as a matter of fact. In one sense of the word, it only started in reality. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hands." Notice the order of Melchizedek looks and sees what God has done and brings into the bigger picture the glorification not of man. He is not glorifying Abraham or Abram and saying, "Boy, what a great preacher you are. What a great prophet you are. Man, you're so deep. You're so smart. You know so much." That's not the order of Melchizedek. People think that under the order of Melchizedek can magnify flesh. Forget it. The order of Melchizedek magnifies the Almighty God and blesses the elect in the name of the Almighty God, and also blesses the Almighty God and acknowledges it is His power that brings us victory. It is not through your pasture that you gain victory. It is not through your flesh that you gain victory. It is through the power of the Lord God of hosts that you gain victory over evil. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And He gave him tithes of all. Now watch as we move into the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, it looks like to me, you know, us thinking humanly, he would have met him before the battle and blessed him. Why'd he wait till after the battle? Sometimes that's the way he does me and you. Now, we know he's with us. We know he's there, right? Oh, he's always with us. That's easy to say. But why didn't he show up before the battle? Why didn't he show up and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do something else? But that's God's way sometimes. And so let us go through terrible trials and all kinds of difficulty. Then after the battle, he shows up and says, I'm the one to help you to go through that. I'm the one who give you the strength. You mean, Lord, you was with me? Why didn't you keep me from it? Because I wanted to use you to bring victory to my name. I wanted to use you to prove you are an El. An heir was El. Elyon, that you are blessed of the Most High God. Because any little old baby can sit on a pew and never be tested or be tried. But I want a host. I want an army that can be tried. Amen. They'll pray when they don't feel like praying. They'll raise their hands when they don't feel like it. They'll go to church when they don't feel like it. Because they belong to the army of the living God. Oh my. Notice in verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First being by interpretation. Now I want you to notice this. Moses does not say it this way. But it took a New Testament prophet to interpret what was in the name of Melchizedek. Glory to God. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness. What a kingdom. Now we're not talking about the king of Johnson City, king Elizabethan, king of America, king of Europe, king of Sweden. But this king, Melchizedek, is the king of righteousness. Now that's who it is that's held spellbound with you in the gallery. The king of righteousness. Look at what a powerful king we're talking about. We're not talking about a blind, feeble, weak king that's lived out all of his days and can barely move along and you get around him and tie him up with your love cords. But we're talking about the omnipotent, almighty, most high. By interpretation, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Who is this king I'm describing? This is the one that's held captive by you. You say, how can I hold one without pedigree, without descent? It's very, very simple. Any of you parents ever play with your children or grandchildren? And you play tag or football or baseball or some kind of games and you allow them to catch you? And it thrills their little hearts. Oh, 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 you got me. Oh, oh, oh. Come on now, be real. Oh my, I'm giving away some of y'all's cover, right? The game will never be the same after this. Why are you doing that? You're condescending into childhood. Now here you are, 50 years old, 60 years old, whatever you are, but your child or your grandchild or whatever it is, oh my, it means so much for them to beat you in checkers. In reality, they couldn't beat you for nothing. They could not catch you in tag or in football. You understand, children? But what do? You condescend. Here you are an adult and you could beat them hands down with no problem. But you condescend into childhood in order to make their day. In order to make them feel better. Don't you understand how he allows himself to be caught in the galleries with you? Oh man, he says, I can't get away. I can't get away. What's he doing? He's condescending to your fellowship. He's condescending to you to where he makes you so, oh hallelujah, it makes you so improved at the way you look at yourself. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, don't you understand that's what he done with Jacob? When Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord and he allowed himself to be held by a mortal man. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord gave me that this week. I about had to run away. I thought, oh Lord, how great. You understand what I said, friends? People bent to stop converted. They don't understand greatness. They don't understand how great he is. Now listen, this king, here he's standing with you in the gallery and he's hell bound. He's captured. And he can't get away. He's not blind. He's not halt. He's not withered. He's not lame. But he's letting you beat him in checkers. Don't you sit there and look at me and don't act like that. Don't just do something to you. If that don't thrill you, you need to get the Holy Ghost. Almighty God would let me capture him? Without father, without mother, I had both. Without descent, I had that. Having neither beginning of days or end of life, I've had the beginning of days, and if time go on, I'll have the end of life. But made like unto the Son of God, which I'm not. Abideth the priest continually, which humanly I'm not. And he would allow himself to be beaten checkers by me. And I move on down through the board and I move over to his side and I say, crown me, Lord.
Lord have mercy. And he just sits there and takes his and puts it on top and says, you're crowned king, Donnie. The more I'm sitting on the other side, like I sat not long ago with a couple of my granddaughters, and they wanted to play tic-tac-toe, and so as they're sitting at a restaurant, they flip, Poppy, let's play tic-tac-toe. You know, you gotta let them win sometimes. I know it ain't good practically to let them win all the time, because they'll think wife's that way, and they get a rude awakening. So I let them win once, and then I'll get a little closer the next time, and let them win again, though, but I'm getting a little closer every time, they don't understand what's going on, and eventually I'm gonna beat them, because I don't want to give them the wrong story, wrong slant of life. But can you imagine you're sitting across the table from God playing tic-tac-toe? God lets you beat. Then you play another game and God lets you win. Boy, you're getting all puffed up and blown plumb out of shape. And then God goes to correct you. He's moving his X's and his O's a little bit closer to you the next time. But what's he doing? He's condescending. Oh Lord, children, if he didn't, how would we even feel worthy to come to his presence? But what does it do? It gives us confidence when our grandkids beat us or our kids beat us, Brother Jim. It gives us that confidence to know, oh my, can you imagine the great king walking down the gallery of praise and the gallery of prayer and the gallery of fellowship and the gallery one after another, and he said, Lord, Lord, I love you, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, what are you doing? You've got me all tied up, don't you? I can't go nowhere. And I'm just here thinking, you gotta be kidding me. I'm not Jacob. I've had power with the Lord. You look at it right, brother, sister. It don't exalt this. It exalts that. Not this. Notice verse 14 in Hebrews 7, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Not made after an Aaron begat so and so and begat so and so, and Aaron died, and his son become high priest, and he died, and his son become high priest, and he died, and his son become high priest. This order is not after this one dies and this one lives. No, but it's after the power of an endless life. I hope you understand Melchizedek is still with us. Woo! Oh, glory to God. Notice in verse 17, for he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Can I go on? Thank you. Notice, who is this Melchizedek? The title of this sermon that was preached to us in the last sermon of the series in Jeffersonville in February. I want you to notice the title of this sermon. Not who was, but who is this Melchizedek? Paragraph 96, he said, notice this title, King of Righteousness. Now, Hebrews 7, 2, he's going to read what we just read. King of Righteousness and King of Peace. He is two kings. Now watch Hebrews 7, 2. King of Righteousness, also King of Peace. He is two kings. He says it again. And now since he's come in the flesh and received his body up in Revelation 21, 16, he's called the King of Kings. He is all three of them together. King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. King God, invisible, immortal, the only wise God. Then what was the second form of his kingship? King Theophany, which was the word made manifest before it was a visible form or a body of flesh. And then what was the third step of his kingship? King Jesus, King God, King Theophany, King Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. Hallelujah to God. Don't you see? He's living out in those types. Your walk, your life, your move, all ever move on the earth is reflecting what God had in his mind before the world began. King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. He is the King of Kings. It's all met just like soul, body, and spirit all comes to make one. Also, he is the Father, which was the first, Son and Holy Ghost, the Spirit. King of Righteousness, the Spirit attribute, Theophany. King of Peace, and in the flesh, he was King of Kings, same person. Psalms 24:7, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. Notice this, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. This is the one who's held by you in the gallery and he can't go nowhere. This is the one who's overcome by your love cords. This is the one who's bound, oh my, hallelujah, and don't want to go. He don't want to get away from you. But this is who it is. And it ain't some old feeble man that can't even raise an eyebrow, barely gets around. We're talking about the Lord, mighty in battle. When hell come against him, he defeated it. When death come against him, he defeated it. When the grave come against him, he defeated it and rose up the conqueror every bit of it. And yet he stands powerless when he's with you. Notice this. David goes on to say in verse 9, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Look with me at these. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17. He is the King eternal. Now unto the King eternal. He is the King immortal. Again, now unto the King eternal immortal. He is invisible. Unto the King eternal
immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. First Timothy 6:15, which in his time shall shew, which is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 17:14, they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords. Notice how lords is spelt. Little L, O-R-D-S. And King, big K, of kings, little K. That's me, little K. He's King of kings. The king of Sodom, his domain was Sodom. The king Melchizedek was king of Salem. He is King of kings. Right. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Revelation 19:18, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Notice this. Look how it's spelt. King of big kings and Lord of big lords. Oh my Lord, something has happened here. King of kings. They become capitalized. They have reached, amen, a dominion and a domain which the Almighty has given them. Where did they get it? They got it from hanging around the big K. They got it from hanging around. Hallelujah to God. Let me tell you something, friend. The only ones that's going to be real magistrates and leaders in the millennium and in the new day to come are going to be those who live an overcoming life right now. If you don't live an overcoming life, you're not going to be given much stuff over yonder. That's just the way it is. But if you live, I'll tell you one thing. I met a preacher the other day over from Africa, and he was over at the meeting in North Carolina, and been a while since I'd seen him. We shook and hands and embrace and all that. He said, "How you doing, brother?" I said, "Doing good. Fighting the devil and winning." "Well, I'm just fighting the devil." You're leaving out one of the most important parts. It ought to be your confession. "I'm not just fighting the devil. I'm winning. I'm making that boy cry. I'm making it hard on that old boy. I was ordained. I was born to torment hell. I was born to live a victorious life. I was born to be filled with the Holy Ghost, saturated till my cup runs over." "Brother Donnie, don't you fight no battles?" When you get a few thousand years, come sit down with me. I'll tell you about a few of them. But I've noticed this. The more hell I fight, the more heaven I see. The more devils I fight, the more conflict I go through. I'll tell you, me and Carol was talking about it today. I told her, I said, today when I was down there studying, the meal barrel exploded on me. And the cruise of oil, it come plumb off the top of it. I felt like I was oozed all over with honey and oil. And the meal barrel running all over. Why? Because my Lord God is omnipotent. And I am one of His. Are you one of His? I'm not just existing, I'm overcoming. Now, since we touched just a little bit, of who the King is. You know, Brother Bam said whenever he was here in 1965, said science is looking out there and seeing 120 million years of life space. He said that was a 16th of an inch in eternity. Can you imagine the size of God's measuring tape? 120 million years of life space was all they could see then. Now they're seeing even beyond that, millions of years of light space. Now they use the measurements called parsecs, which is billions of years of light space put together. Well, if they've grown in their understanding about the heavens, surely to goodness, we have grown some. So 1/16th of an inch is 120 million years of light space.
So we didn't even move a period tonight, hardly. His greatness. Aren't you glad you know Him? Now watch. Here comes the mighty God, the King of glory, Melchizedek, King God, King Theophany, King Jesus. And He enters into a gallery with you. Watch, Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 5, thine head upon this like Carmel, the hair of thine head like purple. The King is held in the galleries. Asar, the word held, Asar, to die, bind, imprison, bind with cords, or to be taken prisoner. So this King that I just got through telling you about, that death was scared to death of Him. He killed death. Hallelujah! Hell couldn't hold Him, and yet you, a real Holy Ghost filled child of God, you loop your cords of love so about His hands that He condescends to fellowship. He said, I can't get away. Oh,
you beat me. Oh, you won. Oh, let me go. Let me go, Jacob. Let me go.
I'll not let you go till you bless me, Lord. You honestly think Jacob thought in his mind he had that power? Neither do you and I. We don't have that power, but I'm playing part of this game. I know what my part is, and that, amen. If He will condescend to that level to fellowship with me, I'm going to take Him up on the game and move and say, crown me, Lord. I want my little K to become a big K. I want my little L to become a big L. Well, if He's offering it to me, I'd be a fool not to take it. You're the same way. If He's offering you this kind of fellowship, are you out of your mind not to take it?
You see, He gives a little glimpse of this in Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 9 when He says, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. Think of it. You've got one more to spare. If one done that to him, what would it do if I turned both of them on him?
As I told you, friends, when we opened this service, if God don't help us, these will be nice, pretty words that are unbelievable. But to me, they are beautiful words that are believable.
Maybe you're not walking here. I am. I'm in the gallery right here tonight with the King. Oh my. Notice in chapter 6 verse 4, thou art beautiful. Oh my love is Tirzah. Comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me.
So here you are, you're being escorted down the gallery of great artworks of great Jehovah. And He's kind of got you on His arm, you know, like that. You're just walking down. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, that was whenever I decided to make the universe there. And I just spoke. And oh, it's incredible, Father. Beautiful. Beautiful. Keep walking down through there. So, what's that? That's Genesis 1 there. In the beginning, God created you. Oh, my goodness. Incredible. Going down through there. Oh, what's that there? And I said it was not good for the man to be alone. Oh, Father. And then you turn your eyes from His work and you look at Him and you say, He was thinking of me. I was. Because I was so alone in eternity. And all of a sudden you turn your eyes from His great handiwork in His creation and your eyes lock in on Him. And He's just melting like macaroni and cheese. It's just like the cheese in a microwave on macaroni. And He's just melting. Children. That's
Can you comprehend this? He allowed you to move across the border so he could let you be crowned.
Brother Dowdy, I don't understand. I don't understand either. But I believe it.
Amen. Somehow it involves his greatness. It's something that we can't understand and comprehend as mere mortals. It can only become clear to us thinking the way deity thinks. But we think too much like mortals, too much like humans. We need to transcend mortal thinking. Hold on to your seat and think more like God.
You're going to call me nuts anyway. So here you are. You've moved from eternity back in the back part of his mind. Now through Genesis 1, Genesis 2. Then all of a sudden the tour in the gallery just becomes halted. Because you've turned and you're looking at him. And he's mesmerized by your beauty. Now by your beauty, I don't mean your hair and the color of your eyes so much naturally. For the prophet tells us, we know God in simplicity, that the beauty of the church is the character of its people. It should not be our numbers here at Happy Valley. And though the music is good, we thank God for that and all this and that and other. But that's not what gets God's attention. It's our character and our keeping his word. We won't get God's attention by raising a missionary offering. Oh, we raised $30,000 and boy, we helped build so many churches overseas. Done this. Oh, that's well and good. That's just fruits and things that we should do. But that's not what stops him in the gallery. It's not when we give him a big offering, but it's when we look at him. I love to look at the stars. I love to talk about the universe. Let me tell you one thing, friend. What moves my heart more than looking at the stars is the star maker. Hallelujah! What moves my heart more than flying over the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, and I've been over them in the Indian Ocean and all the oceans of the world. I flew over all of them. Oh man, that's amazing when you do it. But what makes it even greater to me is when I get along with him and I know he's there. Though I may not see him face to face, but I know he's there. And I, oh hallelujah, I peer into eternity and know it's as if he was right here in front of me.
So it's as if he is captivated. You have captured him. Christ, the blessed King of Zion, condescends. And there you are. Your journey is now cut short. He can move no farther because you have so captured him. He is elated. As your little grandson, 4 or 5 years old, whatever it is, you're wrestling on the floor, playing ball. And he comes over and you allow your arm, oh, Johnny, oh, you got me. And he just laughs and he howls. And one of the first things he'll do, go tell Mama or Grandma, I got Papa, I got Poppy, or whatever it was. I got him. And then, of course, you adults with your mature thinking look at each other and you understand the story, don't you? It don't have to even be said. It was written between the lines. You don't have to even tell her, I let him win. But you look at each other and just that, oh Lord have mercy. Just that certain look that you have. And she knows the mystery of what just took place. Oh Lord, may God help us. Can you imagine whenever he walks down through them galleries and the angels of God stand there and they watch the condescension of God and they look at him and think, isn't that wonderful? And Gabriel says, I've never been able to do that to him. And Wormwood say, I've never been able to do that either. And the cherubims and the seraphims and the zoons and all the holy angels of God, and they say, I've never had him spellbound. And then they look over at one another and say, we know what it is. It's condescension. He's become weak. He's so in love. He's so in love with her.
If you think this is heavy tonight, come back in the morning.
Oh my. Listen to this. Galleries. I found one of these definitions of galleries. Galleries are magnificent apartments over royal and stately buildings. Magnificent apartments over royal and stately buildings. Where feasts and great times of fellowship take place. Can I just a few more minutes? Watch Ezekiel chapter 41 verse 15. Now this is the Millennium Temple. And he measured the length of the building over against the separate place which was behind it, and the galleries thereof on the one side and on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches of the court. Now here and in the Song of Solomon is the only place in the entire Bible that the word galleries is mentioned. So the Song of Solomon and the Millennium Temple. So in the Millennium Temple, it will be the Son of David setting up his throne upon the earth to finish out the seventh day. For the second Eve must have pleasure with her Lord again. In the millennium, the seventh day will be resumed. You see, it started when God finished His creation. And God rested from all of His works. On what day? The seventh day. But man fell on the seventh day, which brought the seventh day to a halt. For the day you eat thereof, that day you shall die. So it brought the seventh day to a halt. This is why we cannot go straight from the Gentile dispensations and the rapture and jump plumb over into the eighth day. That's not the way you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. That's not the way you count. The seventh day has got to start over again and be lived out with Solomon and his wife. Hallelujah! And what will there be? A temple on the earth in the millennium. And what will be inside and on the sides of that temple? Galleries. Or the elect of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? It is their custom to go to church. Amen. It is their custom not only to go to church, but to fellowship with the King in the galleries. I don't want to just come to Happy Valley. I don't want to just attend a church building somewhere. But when I come, I want to get in the galleries with the King. Amen. I want to worship. I want to pray. I want to praise. I want fellowship on this side and on that side. Don't you? Notice in verse 16, the doorposts and the narrow windows and the galleries round about on their three stories over against the door, sealed with wood round about from the ground up to the windows. And the windows were covered. So galleries are places, I found this meaning as well, of public feasting and entertainment of friends.
Amen.
So this is the galleries where the royal king keeps company with his people. And the king is held captive. Would you like to hear what some of these galleries are? Come back in the morning then. Come on now, don't pout. Go ahead and give him a hand. I'll just give you a few names to kind of whet your appetite. One is called the Gallery of Meditation. The other one is the Gallery of Prayer. The Gallery of Worship. The Gallery of Worship. That's a beautiful, beautiful gallery. You see, it's in the gallery of worship where God and His people gather and are worshiped together.
Hallelujah.
No, I didn't make that up. I just quoted that to you
from Elijah's message. The gallery of worship where God and His people gather together and are worshipped together. As I said, if God don't help us, these are nice, sweet, unbelievable words. But if God inspires us, they'll be more than beautiful, incredible words. You will see yourself in the gallery with the King.
Amen.
Your friends, you realize I could spend all kinds of time preaching and studying on all sorts of do's and don'ts, and sometimes we need do's and don'ts. But my view of God is if I could preach you to a place to where you so fall in love with Him,
that's right,
a lot of these do's and don'ts wouldn't have to be mentioned no more. The main problem is not people's standard of holiness and this, that, and other. We're trying to go at it from the outside in. But if they ever fall in love with Him in the right way,
hallelujah,
a lot of these issues wouldn't need them all. There ain't no telling where we'll be able to soar. But we look at the outside and we try to skin the fish and clean the fish before God ever catches the soul. And we make them comply for a little bit and hang them over hell and scare them to death, and they go right back out and do the same thing again or worse. But if I can preach you to a place by God's help, and if I can make Him so real,
hallelujah,
that a business person come and visited our place not long ago, and some of you have sat in the restaurant and eat. Whenever they got up and left this church, they said, I wish I knew Jesus in a way, the way that preacher preached Him.
Yeah.
Somebody asked one of our saints, he was telling me the other day, why do you all stay so long at that church? This brother said, I hope this don't offend you. He said, but have you ever been in church to where that you felt like you were making love to God?
Hallelujah.
And God was making love to you? And this man looked at him all bug-eyed and said, I gotta go. That's the way I want church to be here. Not church as usual. If I can make Him that real to you and you can find Him that way, then you know what? You'll love Him. You'll love Him and want to serve Him. And it won't be because I harp and harp and harp and the deacons harp and this one harps and harps. It'll be because you love Him so much. You don't want to do anything that displeases Him. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Brother Lewis says Tucker Blevins has second degree burns on his right hand. Let's just pray for this as we pray as well. How many wants to be remembered before the Lord tonight? Think of it, friend, who's in our midst? The King of Glory. Melchizedek Himself. Melchizedek is right here. Walking with us the way He did with Abraham. Amen. Whatever your need is, He's here to help you. Lord Jesus, I'm sure that no way that I have the ability to try to represent You. Men that are more gifted and more talented could do a much better job, but You gave me this sermon tonight, so it's mine to preach. So I did my very best, Lord. It's all I know to do. It'd be sort of like an ant or a canary trying to describe a human being. Oh, a little one-celled amoeba. A little thing, a little creature that would come out of the depths of the sea that couldn't touch or feel or see or taste. Try to comprehend and explain a human. Then for me, a poor little old one-celled thing, as it were, from the depths of the sea, to try to explain the omnipotent, almighty King of Glory. But somehow, Lord, if You touched me and helped me to get out of the way, and they were able to hear You and see You, that's what makes it worth it.
Oh, Jesus, I pray tonight, Lord, for this request of the second degree burn. We're asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God move forward, I pray, Lord. All these that raise their hands, their needs, Father, you know what they are. I'm sure a lot of them are like mine. They want to know you in a greater way. Lord, they feel overwhelmed that they'd slide their little checkers as it was over on your side and look you in the face and say, crown me. And you would condescend. May they understand and comprehend, even in the natural union, why is it that the man takes the title of bridegroom? Bridegroom. And the man himself takes on the title of the one he's marrying. She's called the bride. Why is he called the bridegroom? Why isn't he just called groom or Sam or John or Joe or Fred? Why is he called by her title? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Let's just love him, saints. So let me make sure that I understand this right before I let you go. Here we are. We're on the checkerboard of time. The great Almighty wants to move you from the realm of mortality across the timeline. But in order to do it, to crown you king, he has to first make the move across the breach and move into your field and be crowned with mortality and take your sin upon himself. And then that enables you to move from mortality over to cross the timeline, and you can be crowned a king, a conqueror, an overcomer. But you love him. Hallelujah. Down from his glory, ever living store. Let's worship him now. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Hallelujah.
crown me a mortal. To his own a stranger. Lord God, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Everybody now, we're walking down the gallery of worship. Oh, I love you. Lord Jesus, how I adore. You're my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. Glory! Hallelujah! Yes, my Lord. Listen to this verse now. What condescension. Listen to the words. What condescension. Bringing us redemption. Amen. While in the dream. Yes, my Lord. And what did it look like? Not one. God gracious, tender, laid aside all his splendor, stooping to move to me, change my soul. Amen. Look at his condescension for you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My God became, he became. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God's fullness. Thank you, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Do you understand one of the meanings of the word worship? Is to have an overwhelming love and affection for someone or something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. An overwhelming love, an adoration of something that you feel so burning and so vehement in your soul for something or someone. Someone who worships money. You'll never fall, watch them fall down in worshiping a $100 bill.
But they love money so much. Oh my goodness. So what goes on in the gallery of worship, I wonder? Worship. What goes on in the gallery of adoration? Adoration. And it ain't one-sided. I said it ain't one-sided. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel we're in His presence, don't you? Oh, children, I tell you, we ought to, when we come to the house of God, we ought to make it such a serious matter. The Lord God in several different places and several different states in the last few months that I know of has appeared in the form of a pillar of fire. He was right here last Saturday night. He appeared Tuesday night of the meetings in Ruth. He appeared just recently at Brother Ron Spencer's in a funeral. He's appearing here and there and there. Hallelujah. He knows we need Him. Melchizedek is walking among His people. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh my, I don't want to miss His visitation here. Oh, glory to God. Let's just worship Him again. Don't you understand what it is? Right here tonight, what we sense. You understand what this is? It's condescension. It's Him once again, through the foolishness of preaching. He wanted Himself brought down where He would be likened as if though He was a mere man. The Almighty God as if though He was a grandpa being tied up by His little grandson. Like a child playing a game with Him. And He allowed His child, a grandchild, to beat Him. He allowed that similitude or that likeness to be represented like Him. You think that isn't condescension? Oh my. What if somebody likened you to a rat? How would you take to that? What if somebody likened you to a mosquito or a fly or a maggot? Would you take to that very well? No, most of us want to be angels or cherubims or zoons or flunes or some other kind of something or other. So what if you was Almighty God and Almighty God allowed a preacher to represent you as a mere mortal and take that preacher's human language and relate you? Why don't God resent it? It's the art of condescension. He considers it a great compliment to allow Himself, because to Him, it's greatness expressed in humility. If God allows you to be humbled, you ought to shout till you can't hardly shout no more. If God would allow a preacher to humble you or embarrass you, whatever, and God would allow him to do it, you ought to say, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm acting like God. God wanted me to be condescending. Most of us would pout and get mad. Why? We're still not thinking like God. We're thinking like mortals. We love to be uplifted and our name called and people give us accolades and this, that, and other. That's not the way He was. He condescends. Every time we come to church, He condescends to our level so we can understand a little bit more about Him.
Amen.
Worship Him and give praise due to Him and to His name. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness.
Hallelujah.
Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. In holy, righteous attire.
Yes.
Before we go, can we just raise our hands? Just again. Let's worship Him now in the beauty of holiness. Oh, no, you may not know exactly what that means, but you will in the morning. The beauty of holiness. How in the world could we, poor wretched mortals, worship Him in the beauty of holiness? We must be changed and transfigured.
Amen.
For the Scripture says He will beautify the meek with salvation. So we then in turn can worship Him in the beauty of holiness. separatedness, pulled apartness. That's what it means.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love him, Happy Valley?
Amen.
Nice to get that as a group. You love him, Terry? You love him, Mike?
Yes, sir.
You love him, Wes? Amen. You love him, saints?
Yes.
You love him?
Yes.
Young people, old people, middle-aged people, you folks streaming, you love him? You love him with all your heart down in Georgia, over wherever you are, Canada. You love him with all your heart to see you everything, to see your all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say, let's just worship him a little before we go. Oh, praise God.
Light of the
praise
world,
God.
You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore. Hope of a love spent with you. Here I am to worship.
Together, the King and I. Praise God. The King and I. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saying. Thank
the
you,
King
Jesus.
And I.
Sing it now.
Walk down life's road together.
My God.
Where me.
Let's sing it, children.
Go passing by.
Think of it.
The greatest one.
Hallelujah.
And I a lowly beggar. Walk hand in hand.
Amen, Jesus.
The King and I.
Everybody now, think about what you're singing. Amen.
Why he cares for me will always be a mystery.
He holds the whole world in his hand. And who am I? Lord Jesus, I just can't keep from wondering when I slide my checker as it was across the board line of time and I move over into your domain and I move across and look you in the face and say, crown me.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. My soul becomes sealed to the day of redemption. And I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Though I may have to move back across that line and do the work of continuing to help others. Now, Lord, we're still in the line of crowning kings. We're here tonight to help move others across the boundary of time that they might be crowned king. We can't crown them, but we can certainly bind together as an army and help push them across the timeline till you can crown them. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord, if it be pleasing to you, may we gather here again in the morning, Lord, in divine presence to hear your great words again, Father. We so love you, Father. I hope I didn't make it too simple and too humble in the sense of likening it to checkers and all of that, Lord. To me, that's the way I see you. I see you being made down so little that Brother Branham would look at you and he would see two doves sitting over on the power line. At Brother Charlie Cox's house. And I was there one time and Brother Charlie pointed out to me which power line it was that Brother Branham saw those two doves sitting on that power line. And he likened those doves to being you and your bride and said that you was a lover and you desired to make love. But there was no nature like yours. So you had to make something lovable that would be like you. I hear you allowing the prophet to preach you in such a way, in a way of condescension, that you was the serpent on the pole. So I see, Lord, the repeat of this tonight, that you would allow yourself to condescend in our midst. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you so much. Thank you. But I must say, I'm still like the little child that's overwhelmed. When you allow me to pull your arm behind your back and say, I give in, I give in. I wonder how many times Jacob relived that life-changing experience when he thought about wrestling with the angel of God. And he said, I have seen God face to face and I have lived. Praise God. Lord Jesus, go with us, Father. I pray, bring us back in the morning. Meet with us once again, would you, Lord? Would you allow us to meet with God once again, face to face? And let us live different lives and walk different walks. May our thigh be set rather in fine sockets of gold. The thigh being properly set by cunning artisan, representing the walk that we walk, uninjured. The thigh not out of place, not being halted, not being lame or crippled. But if we really see you right, we will walk as the daughter of a king. Our feet shod. Amen. And we will conduct ourselves as the daughter of Psalms 45:11. The king's daughter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Why he should care for me will always be a mystery. He holds the whole world in his hands. When who am I? So my heart so
somehow can't help but wonder while we're in this gallery together. Heaven's King and I. Amen. Chorus again. Why he would care for me will always be a mystery. He holds the whole world in his hands. Who am I? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.